Hello, my friends. This is Bishop Campbell. Welcome you again to a short meditation on the theme of living the Catholic life. Today we celebrate the feast day of a very significant saint in our church's history. Because of his enduring influence he has had on theology, on the depths of our faith, on many aspects of our intellectual life, and that was St. Thomas Aquinas. He lived in the 13th century, did not live long, nearly 40 years, 50 years, but his testimony and his work provided an enduring gift, I think, to the Church. And I want to speak not necessarily about any particular teaching or any particular work that he did, because Thomistic theology can be a daunting adventure. I will say it's well worth it. But there are other aspects of the life of Thomas Aquinas that I think are important to keep in mind. First of all, he lived at a time of extraordinary intellectual ferment. The people in the 13th century were heirs to a rather monumental work of translation from the Arabic of ancient Greek philosophical text, particularly of Aristotle. Many of these texts had been lost to Western Christianity for centuries. There were more works of Plato that were kept, and in fact, his influence was far greater in the Western Christian Church than any other of the philosophers until the rediscovery of Aristotle. And this rediscovery of these ancient philosophical texts started out an extraordinary sense of renewal, of excitement, intellectual excitement, and some difficulties. Because obviously these ancient works of philosophy were pre-Christian, and many of the conclusions of this ancient philosophy were in contradiction to Christian faith. But in fact, when Thomas Aquinas and the Dominicans began to work with these texts, they discovered that they could be used to further the Christian message. And in fact, they began work on these ancient texts, creating commentaries which spoke of what the ancients believed, how in fact they may fit into the teaching of the Christian faith, and how they may, in fact, challenge it, but not be used. And St. Thomas Aquinas was at the forefront of this kind of revival. Thomas Aquinas believed that all aspects of human creation, since they were gifts of the creative love of God, could be used to further the Christian message. They had to, of course, be tempered. They had to, in a sense, be baptized. But in fact, it was a continuing work of preserving what is useful in human work and drawing it in then to the salvific message of the gospel. This has long been a work of the Christian Church. In fact, St. Thomas Aquinas's teacher was St. Albert the Great, who had an extraordinary interest in science, particularly botany. And it has been said that that St. Albert the Great actually corrected a mistake that Aristotle had made about the generation of plants. And wherever St. Albert the Great was, he always created a garden for his studies. And all of this gives lie to the fact that there's some sort of continuing and necessary battle between natural science and Christian faith. And in fact, it was from really the heart of the Church that a lot of our modern natural sciences began to develop. I think of the Benedictines, who saved many of the techniques of ancient agriculture and farming. and used them to support themselves in their various monasteries and saved this knowledge of agriculture, of living from the land for future generations. Thomas's work, however, in his theological endeavors, was always rooted in very deep prayer and worship. And in fact, stories abound of how St. Thomas, after working on a particularly difficult question of the nature of God, of the nature of the revelation of Jesus Christ, would take that draft and he would go into the chapel, kneel down, and put the draft before the crucifix and ask for the approval of Jesus. He also embraced the evangelical life of poverty, obedience, and chastity as a way by which he could dedicate himself, body and soul, to the exclusive knowledge of God and a deeper sense of the meaning and purpose of human life. His method of doing theology did cause some controversy at the time. There was quite a controversy over whether, in fact, the Aristotelian heritage is appropriate to doing Christian theology, especially to those theologians who had come from the work of Plato as a philosophical background. But in fact, in the succeeding centuries, people have come to realize how extraordinarily useful was St. Thomas Aquinas' approach theologically. And it's not simply because of the things that he taught, but the way he went about it, the questions that he asked, the manner in which he presented his conclusions to the questions that he raised are very, very important. And in fact, in the Code of Canon Law of the Church, St. Thomas Aquinas is raised up as a model of theological reasoning and theological work. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that, as Hans Urs von Balthasar said, a modern theologian, Thomas Aquinas did his theology on his knees. That is, it was always rooted in a sense of prayer and worship, and always and in hope given as a contribution to a deeper understanding of the presence of Jesus Christ and the meaning of human life. It was Pope Leo XIII, who was pope between 1878 and 1903, who in fact reawakened an interest in Christian philosophy according to the pattern of St. Thomas Aquinas, particularly because of the way that he would draw the other human sciences into the project of theological understanding. And Leo XIII did this at a time, again, of extraordinary intellectual ferment, involving such things as the theories of evolution, historical studies of the origin of sacred scripture. They were causing both interest and consternation in the world in the 19th century. But Leo XIII said, why should Christians fear any of the authentic discoveries of the natural world and of history? He said, we have the proper tools of examination, the proper tools on how to judge these new things and how to draw them into a deeper appreciation of the Christian message and a deeper appreciation of how that message is proclaimed. And for this reason, I think Thomas Aquinas is a very important character for us. And it's not only his work that we have, but also the matter of his personality. There are all sorts of stories told about Thomas Aquinas and how so deeply focused was he on the task that no matter what was happening around him, he never lost composure. It may surprise you to realize that when Thomas Aquinas was teaching at the University of Paris back in the 13th century, it was a very wild time at the university, and the university was filled with sometimes very active and very noisy students. On one occasion, there was a student riot, and the officials in Paris had to call out the constabulary. They came out. In fact, the archers started firing arrows at the crowd. And this was all occurring while Thomas Aquinas was preaching, lecturing. And one of the arrows flew into the window of the lecture hall, embedded itself in the wall behind Thomas Aquinas, and he never batted an eye. He kept teaching. He said the power of the Word of God is always going to be victorious. And it's that kind of composure, that kind of sense that the truth is there to be discovered, and it is a saving truth. I think of the question of the old catechism that was asked of me when my mother was teaching me the catechism. Why did God make you? And the answer, of course, is God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him. And consider, it is to know him that is the first task. And Thomas Aquinas allows us to understand how the deep experience of the infinite God, a mystery into which we can always delve, in fact, is so important and fundamental to our loving God and serving him as we ought. And in the end, to make our lives meaningful and good, we must understand who God is and who we are in God's eyes. And it will lead us to our end and purpose, which is everlasting life.